the SoPo Reads Poetry Podcast, and thank you for tuning in for our first episode. I'm your host, Matt Norris, and since this is our first episode, I just want to give a small rundown on how these episodes will work. Every episode, I will have an introduction where I talk about the themes for the episode, or if I'm only going to talk about the writings of one poet, I'll just introduce that poet. After I read each poem, I'm going to talk about how I relate to it and kind of connect it to my own life. Hopefully, I'll be able to connect it to yours as well, and then I'll read it again. The goal of this podcast is just to get you familiar with poetry, and through that poetry, maybe help you think about the world you live in a little bit differently and maybe your place within it. So let's go ahead and get started. Today's poems are by former U.S. Poet Laureate Tracy K. Smith. I wanted to start with her because she was the first contemporary poet that I was introduced to by my former creative writing professor and awesome human, Brian Morrison. Shout out to Brian. If you haven't checked out his work, please do. And I just fell in love with Tracy K. Smith right off the bat, especially her first book, Life on Mars. And that's where our first poem comes from, and it's titled The Universe as a Primal Scream. The Universe as a Primal Scream. 5 p.m. on the nose. They open their mouths, and it rolls out, high, shrill, and metallic. First the boy, then his sister. Occasionally, they both let loose at once, and I think of putting on my shoes to go up and see whether it is merely an experiment their parents have been conducting upon the good crystal, which must surely lie shattered to dust on the floor. Maybe the mother is still proud of the 4 pink lungs she nursed to such might. Perhaps if they hit the magic decibel, the whole building will lift off and will ride to glory like Elijah. If this is it, if this is what their cries are cocked toward, let the sky pass from blue to red to molten gold to black. Let the heaven we inherit approach. Whether it is our dead in Old Testament robes, or a door opening onto the rolling infinity of space, whether it will bend down to greet us like a father, or swallow us like a furnace, I'm ready to meet what refuses to let us keep anything for long, what teases us with blessings, bends us with grief, wizard, thief, the great wind rushing to knock our mirrors to the floor, to sweep our short lives clean. How mean our racket must seem beside it. My stereo on shuffle, the neighbor chopping onions through a wall, all of it just a hiccough against what may never come for us. And the kids upstairs still at it, screaming like the dawn of man, as if something they have no name for has just begun to insist upon being born. You know, this poem really takes me back to when I was in college at Ball State not so long ago. And not because of the fact that I was introduced to it then, but just because of this concept of noise within the poem. I mean, you have the universe as a primal scream. You have children crying and screaming. You hear the neighbor chopping onions through the wall. Just all of these references to sounds that exist kind of outside of your own personal sphere. I grew up southeastern Indiana in the middle of, 24 acres of old growth forest. We didn't really even have street lights, let alone much noise, except for howling coyotes and crickets. So when I made the move to Ball State, I had to get really comfortable with all of this excess noise that never existed in my life before. The music bumping through walls, people yelling, people talking, car horns, train tracks. If you've been to Muncie, you know the trains are loud, and a lot of the student housing is right by those tracks. And it's kind of that memory of, you're living your life in the midst of all this noise, and you kind of have an existential crisis about it. All of these things, the universe and death all coming to a head. But at the same time, you can't really think about that stuff when you've got 2 young children screaming their heads off above you. But she doesn't regard them in anger. She recognizes them as first the boy starts, then the girl, or then his sister. So there's no anger. It's just a witnessing of it, an acceptance of it, and an acceptance of kind of everything that's outside of the control of our own lives, and kind of taking comfort in the fact that while we can't control it, we can still exist within it and find that peace. Yeah, that's what I take away from it anyway. maybe you guys have some other take on it that probably better than mine. And if you do, please share it with me, because, you know, that's kind of the whole point of poetry. It's just for us to come together and talk about it. So one more time, here is The Universe as a Primal Scream by Tracy K. Smith from her book, Life on Mars. 5 p.m. on the nose, they open their mouths and it rolls out, high, shrill, and metallic. First the boy, then his sister. Occasionally they both let loose at once, and I think of putting on my shoes to go up and see whether it is merely an experiment their parents have been conducting upon the good crystal, which must surely lie shattered to dust on the floor. Maybe the mother is still proud of the 4 pink lungs she nursed to such might. Perhaps if they hit the magic decibel, the whole building will lift off and will ride to glory like Elijah. If this is it, if this is what their cries are cocked toward, let the sky pass from blue to red to molten gold to black. Let the heaven we inherit approach. Whether it is our dead in Old Testament robes, or a door opening onto the roiling infinity of space, whether it will bend down to greet us like a father, or swallow us like a furnace, I'm ready to meet what refuses to let us keep anything for long, what teases us with blessings, bends us with grief. Wizard, thief, the great wind rushing to knock our mirrors to the floor, to sweep our short lives clean. How mean our racket seems beside it. My stereo on shuffle. The neighbor chopping onions through a wall. All of it just a hiccough against what may never come for us. And the kids upstairs still at it, screaming like the dawn of man, as if something they have no name for has begun to insist upon being born. All right, the next poem we'll be looking at by Tracy K. Smith comes from her book Wade in the Water that came out in 2018, and it's titled An Old Story. An Old Story by Tracy K. Smith. We were made to understand it would be terrible. Every small want, every niggling urge, every hate swollen to a kind of epic wind. Livid, the land, and ravaged, like a rageful dream. The worst in us having taken over and broken the rest utterly down. A long age passed, when at last we knew how little would survive us, how little we had mended or built that was not now lost. Something large and old awoke, and then our singing brought on a different manner of weather. Then animals, long believed gone, crept down from trees. We took new stock of one another. We wept to be reminded of such color. It's kind of funny how living during a pandemic makes you want to talk about really anything other than living during a pandemic. But this poem kind of has me thinking about all of the things that we've missed since going into lockdown and, you know, a lot of things being closed or normal activities not being available to us, even seeing friends and family for long stretches of time, if at all, since this started. You know, especially those, the last verse, then animals long believed gone crept down from trees. We took new stock of one another. We wept to be reminded of such color. I mean, how many things that we took for granted in everyday lives pre-pandemic were no longer available to us for the past year? How many things that we loved, pastimes, hobbies, and things like that, we can no longer do? You know, when we get to a point when we finally can do them and we can see people we haven't seen, well, close friends, family members, and we can take new stock of one another, remember the things that are important, and be glad that when we finally get to a point where we can see everyone again, whenever that may be, you know, we have that gladness of seeing everyone, but it's also kind of intermixed with that sadness of how much we've missed out, you know, within the past year, how many relationships have been changed because of the past year. And just to have it back, to be reminded of that color, those facets of life that, you know, maybe we took for granted, but now that we would have them back, you know, we would weep for them, because we are so happy to have them back. I know I have a few things like that. I have a few people that I would love to see once this is all over with. And Yeah, that's kind of what this poem had me thinking about. So if you had, a different interpretation of it, feel free to let me know. I love to hear everyone's take on poems, just because everyone's perspective is going to be different. A poem is going to mean something different to everyone who reads it. So if you thought about something different while I was reading this, let me know. Let's have a conversation about it. One more time, here is An Old Story by Tracy K. Smith from her book Wade in the Water. We were made to understand it would be terrible. Every small want, every niggling urge, every hate swollen to a kind of epic wind. Livid, the land, and ravaged, like a rageful dream. The worst in us having taken over and broken the rest utterly down. A long age passed. When at last we knew how little would survive us, how little we had mended or built that was not now lost, something large and old awoke. And then our singing brought on a different manner of weather. Then animals long believed gone crept down from trees. We took new stock of one another. We wept to be reminded of such color. Thank you for tuning into our first episode. Once again, my name is Matt Norris, and this has been the So Poe Reads Poetry Podcast. Stay safe, everybody.